You've tuned into a podcast with me, Anupama Chopra. I do hope you enjoy listening to this conversation.
On the eve of the release, I tried my best. I picked up my next film script, War 2, and I went through that. I got deeply engaged in that. Right. I have to act so that I can, you know, get a sense of making a film. Acting comes in my way. I have studied my face, right? I've spent years before Kahuna Pyare came out. For 10 years, I was studying my face because this is my product.
Ritik, it's always so nice to see you. Congratulations
always
on
nice
Fighter.
Always nice to see you too. Thank you.
What are these last few days? What have they been like? What's happening? How are you processing the varied feedback?
Yeah, I think life often comes to a standstill when the film is on the eve of release and the first few days. Because you're at the mercy of the box office, the mercy of the reviews. And I've often, fantasized about like disconnecting completely. And because there's nothing more you can do after the film releases. I have toyed with the idea. I'm so fascinated by it that if I could have that strength.
You mean just leave? What do you mean disconnect?
Just disconnect and, not be in a state of that deep, concern, vacuum. You know, you're hunting, for, you know, what's the number? What's the review? What are the people saying? All of that. Because it is going to come to you, you know. The big picture is going to land, at some point. So there is no real need of going through that whole, sleepless nights and, let's do this, let's do that. And, he said this, she said that. Okay, that's good, that's good. Oh, the shows jumped up. Great. Oh, the shows didn't jump up. Oh, so you don't need
to. It's a roller coaster.
You don't need to go through the roller coaster.
Yeah.
But, that is still a skill that I need to build. And I will. On the eve of the release, I tried my best. I picked up my next film script, War 2, and I went through that. I got deeply engaged in that. And the next day I met Ayan, we sat and all of that. But I couldn't completely disconnect because there's a loyalty, that you have to, there's a commitment. So if Fighter needs me, I got to be there till the end. And then that's what happened. So anyways, yeah.
So you were sucked back into it.
I was sucked back into it and then sucked back hard.
But you had once told me that once you see the full film, you have a pretty good sense of where it's going to land in terms of box office. And you're fairly good with, you're fairly accurate. That's usually what happens. Were you able to do that with this film?
I am very good with that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of scary, no?
Well, which is why I always, I find my peace so easily. I'm so lucky. I'm so fortunate that, when a film does really well, I'm at peace. When it does not do well, I'm at peace because I've already kind of calibrated how much I felt when I saw the first copy to, the box office result. And that's always been a match. So.
And yet you go through the roller coaster.
Which is why I'm saying you don't need to. The big picture is going to land.
Yes.
But it's addictive.
It's addictive. And it's part of the high, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
It is the high that you're looking for. It's like a drug. But also in some way it is. It is a different entity. You also have a nurturing emotion towards it. It's your movie. You've given your best to it. So if it needs you a bit more, you've got to be there for it. So yeah. So there's a dichotomy there. But I really believe that the best thing to do is to just let it fly on its own.
You talked about the box office and more and more. That's become such a spectator sport, right? Mm-hmm. Because everyone's watching and everyone's now deciding that, okay, this was good, this wasn't good, this much isn't enough. Now, of course, every conversation is 800 crores and 1,000 crores. And that's all on the hero, mostly. A large part of it is on the hero. So is it, you know, you've done this for longer than 20 years now. Is it harder to be who you are today?
Well, there are two ways to see it. One is that, you know, I would really, I would fly as an actor if I didn't have the burden of being a star. That's one. But I think that time will come. So I'll wait for that. Right now, I am, you know, been given this responsibility. You know, it's a gift. Stardom is a gift. It's a responsibility. It's it makes you feel the pressure. And that's what, you know, fills your tank. It's a fuel and it's to be used. And I'm all up for using it well, you know. Use it well. You know, it's adrenaline. It's pressure. It's a lot of pressure. Because, I mean, there have been many times where I have been unable to do something in a film because of the sheer awareness that I have to uphold the star factor in this film. So I can't go that way, you know. I have to keep
there
upholding.
There are Lakshman Rekhas, right?
Yes.
That you cannot cross.
Yes, you can't. You can't. Also, you have to look a certain way. If that has been one of the ingredients that people have incorporated into the mold of you as a star, then you have to uphold that as well. So you have to look a certain way, which is one of the most distracting things for me as an actor, you know, because I'd rather spend all of that time getting deeper into my emotion than, you know, fixing myself on the exterior. But of course, I'm an actor, it is a part of my job, fine with it. But as I said, I do look forward to the time when the pressure and the burden of the star is not there and the actor just flies. I have been able to do that, you know, in some of my films.
Yeah.
But in films like Fighter and films like War, you know, there's no escaping that.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's just no escape.
Absolutely.
There's no escaping that. So futile to complain.
Absolutely. No, yeah. And I'm going to come to that. But first, I want to talk about two scenes in the film, right? The first is when Patty's come to Hyderabad as an instructor, and then he needs to help the new pilot who's on her first solo flight, whose name is the same as his dead fiance.
Yeah.
He needs to help her land that plane.
Yeah.
Now, that's a scene that I believe that you were very keen on, including in the script. Why was that?
So it was always there in the script, and it was a reminder of Patty's love, the love that he lost. It was an important scene. I was very, very concerned that, you know, the special effects of this scene needs to work really, really well, because I know everyone's focusing on the jets and all of that. That has to look good. But this little scene, you know, it's NJ. It's a reminder of Patty's vacuum in his heart, and it's him, you know, feeling a little simmer of, you know, feeling a little vindicated. You know, once he helps her land safely, it's a very gentle, very, very gentle scene. And I'm happy with the way it turned out. But is there a particular reason you asked me about this scene?
It's because...
Because there are many other scenes that have been even more complicated.
No, and I'm going to come to my favorite. But this scene, so it struck me as something that was very interesting in terms of you had not... Also, of course, because her name is the same, right?
Yeah.
So then the emotional stakes just go through the roof. But I wondered, I'm like, okay, what are we learning about him that we didn't know? Was the idea to make him more vulnerable or to find a semblance of healing in that scene?
Well, I love when characters they are not wanting to be vulnerable. But then something hits you and you just, the mask just comes off. I love those moments, which is why, you know, Patty being this arrogant pilot was very interesting to me. And I wish we could have, you know, deepened those layers a little bit more and have the arrogance, you know, right in your face. Because then when it breaks, when the vulnerability comes out, it's the mystery of that, you know, the discovery of that becomes very, very enjoyable. And the character starts to take shape of a human being that, that you would actually be able to relate to. Patty was actually not an easy character at all for me.
Why?
At all. It's one of the most difficult roles I have done. Because and I keep saying this, and maybe this time it'll stick. Characters like you know, like Super 30, for instance, or Kabir, or you know, there Patty is not as evolved. Patty is not. He's spontaneous. He's instinctive. He doesn't respond. He reacts.
He's not thinking everything through.
Yeah. And so it was like kind of, you know, the human in me felt a little demoted. Okay, I have to play that young Sid man. Yeah, let me do it like this. Let me do it like that. But he was, you know, that's what I respect about Sid, that, that he knows the shape of his characters. Mm. You know, he will go to any lengths to help you, you know, feel the flight. But then he has his markers. And so I had to shift gears. I literally had to shift gears and say, okay, I'm so used to these larger than life emotional arcs of a character. That actually is the driving force of the film. And which is why we took a long time, you know, into getting this film started. Because I was trying to find that that comfort zone that I usually have with my characters, because the emotional depth and the arc is larger than life. And then I came to terms with it, because, you know, it's like I'm almost being selfish all the time. I want that arc. Let me just be the actor and give the director, just, you know, be a...
You submitted.
Let me submit. Let me do what I did in ZNMD.
Yeah.
You know, where I'm just there. I'm a color in the painting, you know. And I have enough humility to see that as a positive. So then I surrendered to Patty, and then... And then, of course, Sid has, you know, when you're doing Sid's films, sometimes you really have to be a good actor, you know. So in this film, I have actually acted. I've had to be a good actor.
But you are a good actor. What does that mean?
Let me try and explain. You know, I don't think I'm a good actor. I'm very, my process makes things very easy for me to, you know, embody the character and then just be. I know that's also a form of...
So you're saying you work hard to make it look easy?
I work hard to make it look easy.
Okay.
And then comes along, you know, a scene or two where, you know, when you read it, you're like, dude, I can't do this. I just can't. It's not me. For instance, you know, going up to a table with two ladies and using a device like
please
to get your way, and that becoming like a kind of an emoji, like please wali smile. I said, oh my God, that is so not me as an actor and as a human. It's so far away from me. This is the time to actually, you know, do what I say I do. I'm an actor. Okay, fine. Let me get into this and let me try and interpret it in a way that I can make it look like it's me,
yeah.
You know, and it was not easy. But I think now when I see it, I think I manage. And then, of course, to use it in a very emotional scene,
yeah.
You know, very emotional scene where, where Patty is, he's empty completely, and he's asking his friend to trust him one more time. You know?
That's my favorite scene.
Oh yeah, that's my favorite as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought
when he's asking Sachi to trust him one more time.
And the you know, just your eyes look so wounded. You were so good in that.
Thank you.
Tell me about the beats of that. How did you get that?
Yeah, and that ends with the please wali smile as well. You know, he says please in the end. And to me, on paper, it just felt like, dude, when I'm so emotional and I'm so like, you know, being so honest, is it a little manipulative to like use that please wali smile because she will give in because if I use that device? And I was so at loggerheads, you know, inside me. I said, is this right? Is this? And then I had to find the child, you know, find the child that it's like a childlike quality when you have nothing else to resort to, you know, you're so hits, you know, rock bottom that you're even trying that. So I saw it like that then.
Yeah.
That he's gone so low that he needs, he's hoping that if he says please,
it'll work
in the way that she loves,
yeah,
that it will work.
Yeah.
So I then had to see that and then it worked. So there was a lot of, negotiation that was going on within me, yeah, about, you know, how to play this. So yeah, it was not easy. It was not easy.
You know, you talked about the kind of pressure on you to look a certain way in films like this, right? And the thing is, with Fighter, because it's also taking from real life things, which are very serious, you have to have a certain level of gravitas. It's emotional. There is stuff which is tragic. It's tough, right? But there's also then, I mean, part of the allure of these films is the slow motion walk. Yeah. With the planes in the backdrop and against the sunset and you know, just looking really hot. Mm. How do you balance between being serious and sexy?
Yeah, that's a good, very good question, actually, because I have to first of all believe that it is not the shape of my nose or the shape of my eyes or the shape of my jawline. I have to really believe that it's the expression that I am donning at that time. You know, it is a sequence and the dance of your expressions. This is what I need to believe first. That is going to make you look attractive, and that is going to eventually lead to people saying, oh my God, that looked hot. Because if I start believing that it's hot just because of, you know, the way the shape of the face is, which by the way is completely crap. It never works for that. It's never really about the looks, especially for an actor.
So there's science behind the sexiness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In War, when Kabir comes off the chopper, I had sat down and built an entire backstory of where he's coming from.
Really?
Yeah. There were 3 pages of just, you know, what is going to drive him to have that look in the eye that I want him to have. So I'm not working from the exterior, I'm working from the insides to the outside. So I need to have enough information in my head and in my cells about who this guy is and where he's coming from and where is his arrogance coming from? You know, where is that strength coming from? What has he just been through that warrants that expression? You know, so that's what I believe, you know, and maybe it's just a belief system so that I protect the reality of my characters. Because otherwise I would be so attached to it that I'd take it for granted, and I don't think then it would work. So I try and find the story behind it.
Behind even looking hot.
I think it only comes with
a story.
With a story. You know, it's the story in your eyes,
yeah.
the life that you lived that makes you attractive. And I don't think we live in a day or age where you would just like somebody because of the way they looked. You know, it's something that you recognize in their eyes. It's something that they're saying, or the tonality of their voice, and it's the aura. There's a lot going on there that makes somebody attractive. You know, yeah.
But Hrithik, to be fair, like so if it's a film, like, of course, if it's Guzarish or Super 30, then it's a different thing, right?
Well, I got, you know, an equal amount of compliments for the way I looked in all these films.
I'm sure you did.
To be honest, yeah.
No, but here's what I'm asking, right? you're in this movie, and I don't know if you saw the Hindu review of Fighter, but it started with Fighters. Something like Fighter is a film about loving your country, but that's secondary. First, it's a film about loving Hrithik Roshan. Okay.
And, that's sweet.
Yeah, and it goes on to talk about how they use your face, and of course, the camera is moving over your body.
So, I know what you're saying. And okay, let's talk about the skill part.
Hmm.
So, I have studied my face. Right, I've spent years before Kahuna Pyare came out. For 10 years, I was studying my face because this is my product. You know, you could call it vanity or whatever, you know. But I think it's also an actor's responsibility if he is wanting to be recognized in that category of actors, you know, who can back films like this. Then you have to know your face, you have to know your light, you have to know what makes your face look the way you want it to look. So I know how to light my face. I know how to light my eyes. I have spent years and years perfecting it. So there is all of that skill which comes into play in a film like Fighter, which is also hard work. You know, I don't think anybody wakes up as the best version of themselves.
Sure.
Nobody.
Yeah.
None of us.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very important to recognize that, and because then, you know, it'll just go to your head. You can't start thinking that that's who you are.
Yeah.
I know the kind of, and which is why I'm open to talking about it. That this is all. It's a house of cards. You know, it really is a house of cards. The angle of the camera. The light that's falling in my eye. Sometimes I give the best shot as an actor, and then we realize that the light didn't do what I thought it was doing, and I make a request to, you know, relight the face so that I can give my best again.
Yeah.
And you know, it is a burden. It is a I don't want to do it again. I've just given my best to the shot. My heart, you know, came out in my lines. I'm so much at peace, and then I gotta like fix my face. Oh my God! Imagine how irritating that is. But I have to do it. I have to do it because it is a part of my work. It is a part of the fees that I'm taking for this film, because that's what they're expecting. So I'm very aware of the responsibility. And trust me, it is skill. It is all skill.
But let me ask you this, right? Because I think that you're an actor who's very who's very hands-on with the films. It's not, you're never just going and doing a job.
Yeah.
It's not. Your life is in it. Right?
I have to act so that I can, you know, get a sense of making a film. Acting comes in my way.
Right.
What I really enjoy is before the acting, you know, sitting on the script and all of that.
Yeah.
And then after the acting gets over. Because then I turn into the assistant, and then I'm enjoying the process of packaging the film.
Yeah, yeah.
The post-production. Acting really comes in the way, man. It's like... You know, able to do all of that, I have to act.
Tell me this, Hrithik, because you're in a sense a co-architect, right, of your movies. Where do you draw the line on your own objectification, right? So it's okay for the camera to move like this while you're in the shower, and we see all the six-pack abs, and then you walk out and you're lit a certain way.
Mm.
How much is too much?
As long as, so I have a very, very objective view about myself. I also have a perspective of, you know, knowing all the, I know all my fault lines. So I'm quick to catch something that is not really working. In a film like Fighter, it was important to have a physique. It's Sid Anand's film. I mean, you know,
of course.
You can't get away with
it's what we go for, right?
Yeah. So like, if you take Fighter, for instance, my introduction, I'm in the shower and there are, I think, three shots of mine now. You know, first there's my hands and my hair, and there's my left hand, and then the abs, and then goes goes to a close-up of mine. So initially there were like 12 shots.
No.
Yeah.
And then?
And then I just knew this is not going to work. So then that's when you know, the collaborator in me sits with my director and says, I don't think it works if it's, you know, 12 shots. I think we should have three, and that should be good enough. So yeah, I'm very aware that I, you know, it should not can't overdo that.
Yeah.
You know,
it has to serve the narrative.
Yeah, it has to serve the narrative, and it's best when it becomes a part of a scene. Mm-hmm. When it becomes a part of the scene, like I think the best you know, body shot that I've enjoyed in my life was actually in Bang Bang. You know, because it's a part of the scene. He gives her something to drink, he distracts her by removing his shirt, and she looks at the body and, you know, and she drinks it up. And she drinks up the whole thing because it's something to knock her out. So it was incorporated within the scene. And so I had like no holds barred there.
Yeah.
You know, I could do whatever the director wanted there. Mm. But when it's just, I mean, if you see the number of films I've done and the number of times I have gone, you know, bare-chested, you'll be shocked.
It's very few.
Very, very few. I have been bare-chested. I can count the films in my on my fingers. There was a bare-chested shot in Krish, Bang Bang, the Fighter. What else?
Does anyone remember?
I shot 3? In Krish, in Krish 3.
Doom.
That's
anything?
4. I wasn't bare-chested in Doom. Except when I think when I came out of the scuba. So you can count Dhoom as well. Yeah. 5.
Agnipath?
Nope.
No?
Nothing bare-chested. Not War. I didn't go bare-chested in War.
Yeah.
So 5 films.
That's in 20 years, 20 plus.
In 20 years, yeah. 20 plus years. Yeah. 5 films where I've actually been bare-bodied.
Do you push back with things? Do you find like directors take it as a prop? Like, let's use his beauty.
All the time. All the time. Dance. And going bare-chested. These are the two things I push back on all the time. Because sometimes the dance is, you know, illogical.
Yeah.
It just...
it's there because you're so good.
Yeah. But then you got to, you know, work harder to see how to make this character dance, man.
Yeah.
You know, not just Hrithik Roshan, but just the character. What would make him dance? There's got to be something that makes everyone dance. You know.
Yeah. So
you
find the key.
You gotta find that.
Yeah. Go back to what you were saying earlier. This joy you have in after acting and before acting. Hmm. And obviously I guess it comes from your roots as an AD, right? Because that's where you began.
I shift roles so easily. You know, from the actor to the assistant. Actor, assistant. I shift between those two roles very, very easily. And
and you're very hands-on.
I'm extremely hands-on because I'm always learning. You know, I want to be a fly on the wall. If that's all that you can allow me to be, I'd love to be just a fly on the wall to understand how, you know, films are being made. But sometimes you have a collaborator like Sid, and many in my life truly enjoy the collaboration. You know, truly enjoy and want to know what you're feeling, and are constantly, you know, questioning themselves, questioning me, and searching for our answers. And that becomes a very enjoyable process.
But Hrithik, as you've, I mean, you were a superstar after the first film, right? But as you've grown and grown and grown in stature, is it tough to be a collaborator because what you say has so much weight?
So this is, in fact, something that I have been thinking about, the opposite perspective. because I'm not assertive. I am extremely passionate. I will go to any lengths to convince the person I'm collaborating with, to inspire, to show him the vision of what I am thinking. But I have a line that I do not cross. I will never, ever in my life power down and say, this is it, and that's it. Never.
There's no ultimatums.
There is absolutely no ultimatums. I'm very, very conscious of that. Because I know the power that I have, and if I start asserting that, it's going to ruin the camaraderie, the relationship,
the
fabric of it.
Yeah.
will get completely disrupted. So I am very, very careful never ever to use power when I'm in a room brainstorming with collaborators. So I either am able to convince, or they are able to convince me. Sometimes I'm not convinced, and I take that as my failure. I take that as my failure that I wasn't clear enough or didn't have enough information to be able to inspire and pass my vision on to them. And sometimes I give in, and it's a weight that I bear then after that, but that's life.
Yeah. But on a film like this, which is so massive in terms of just the ambition of it, right?
Yeah.
In the post, were you like, you're there for editing, sound, DI, all of it?
Yeah. There are a few things that I have learned in my experience as a producer when I'm making my films that I realize now has been, it's something that it's like gold, you know. And I bring forward hacks because I have learned the machine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I know there are things you can do on these machines that sometimes even the technician kind of like says, "Nahi, ye VFX mein ho jayega," but you can actually do it on the DI machine.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm because I've been a student, and because I've been learning, I think I'm able to contribute a lot, in that process. But that's of course, I'm the assistant, and I'm there at the beck and call of the director if he needs something. And I really enjoy that process, because I did that for 6 years with my dad.
Yeah.
And then in all the films that we produced, slowly I saw my dad kind of like saying, you do it. So it kind of like that it got very empowered in me.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy it also. So I think, it's till now it's always been a positive.
But is it all leading to some place where you become the director?
So yeah, I've been contemplating that, and I really don't know. I don't know that, I have seen directors who, don't know even like the lensing.
Absolutely. They just leave it to the DOP.
They don't know what lenses, how it's going to look like and stuff like that. But there's something that's empowered in them,
yeah,
where they are confident enough to say, I'm going to make this film. I'm going to direct this film. And they just go forth. Something inside me still needs to get empowered. That little part, I don't even know what that is. But I'm hoping it does.
So you want to direct, but you're not 100% sure.
I don't even have an answer to that. I don't have a, you know, pat answer to that. There is something that is in the way of me even contemplating that. Is it some kind of fear? Is it some kind of, inability? It's maybe how I'm seeing myself. Do I think I can't, but I know I can? There's two sides to me that are constantly fighting.
But someday it might click into place.
It might. I'm actually hoping it does because, man, why not?
Yeah.
Why not? If I love cinema that much, why not? Go to the extreme of it and find out.
Yeah.
You know, what is the cinema that I would want to make? You know, how boring would my film be, or how engaging would it be? Yeah, I'd
what
I'd
would
love
the
to
Hrithik
find
Roshan
out.
Movie be?
Yeah, I'd love to find out. You know, it's like when I was making my first Home. I think it's that same process, you know, where you know, to be confident enough to say, yeah, I like this floor, I like these curtains with this floor. No, I don't like this carpet. To take those decisions, you really have to be in touch with your instincts.
Yeah.
You know, because you never really know if that floor is good or bad.
That's right.
You know, someone else will come in and say, no, this floor is great because if you add this carpet and this curtain, and you look, wow, that looks amazing.
Mm.
But you got to go with what you have, you know, what your instincts are showing and saying at that point in time. And you just have to believe it, you know. So I went through that process when I was making my house, and I was very aware how, you know, unsupported it feels to just be... to be just supported by your instincts and your feelings, and you have to rely on just that. I think that's what is what a director needs to have.
It's making hundreds of decisions every day,
and none of them are right or wrong. You just
absolutely
have to go by your instincts.
Yeah.
You know, and finally, if everything is your instinct, it will form some kind of a sequence, and it will form a picture, a completed picture. So really, really important to trust your instincts.
Well, I look
someday
forward to it.
Hopefully someday.
But Hrithik, I also want to talk about what didn't work for me in this film.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
I want to talk. I mean, I found the writing not as sort of effortless as War was. In the sense of the playfulness, in the sense of the fun that was in that film. Also, the tonality was much more high decibel, you know, because Kabir is a soldier, right? When you walk out of that helicopter, we see him against the flag, which tells us who this man is in, half a second. But here, Pakistan seems to be run by a terrorist, and the army top brass have zero will. Why? Mm.
Well, I would like to believe that my fans and my audience come to watch my films are a bit more evolved, and they would not need lines like this. So that's a weight that I bear, because as an actor, as I said, I don't cross any lines. At the same time, I admire that, Sid is a very, very headstrong filmmaker.
So this was his conviction.
It's his conviction, yes. And sometimes you see somebody that convinced and it kind of like breaks your heart to like, you know, power down and say no, which I don't do. But of course, I also bear the weight of that, because finally it's my face.
Yeah.
But I'm very, very happy that it's landed as entertainment and nothing more than that. I'm really, really relieved about that. Having said that, I still bear the weight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Sid said in an interview with Deadline, and I found this very interesting, that stars should choose film as stars, which is why Tom Cruise is now sort of the last great living legendary star whose films are still continuing, you know, to just rack up the box office numbers. They should choose film as stars and not as actors, because Tom Cruise chooses a film as Tom Cruise and not because he wants to win an Oscar. Now, you are both a star and an actor. How do you choose your films?
Yeah, well, it sounds like as if Sid is talking directly to me.
This was for you, huh?
Well, but it's great if that's your mission. If your mission is, you know...
Stardom.
If your mission is stardom and your mission is running that business and you have that shop that you've opened and people are liking, and you just keep selling what they like, you know, you alter your demeanor and your products according to what they are liking and what they are not, that's also okay. I don't enjoy that. I feel suffocated. I feel very suffocated. I think it just comes down to why you're doing what you're doing, you know. Why are you doing movies, you know? What are you getting out of it? Is it for money? Then go ahead, man. There are no rules, and you
and go, no judgment.
No judgment. Yeah. You go out. You're earning the bread for yourself and your family. You go out and you sell yourself. You do what it takes. I respect that. I admire that. But once that is need is satisfied, you know, it's like that. It's the hierarchy. Maslow's, once, you know, you have, first you need food and then shelter, clothing, you know, where does it stop? Once you've got the yacht, you know, you still want more of that?
I need the private jet.
Yeah, it's got to stop, you know. Yeah. You have to know how much do you want, what kind of life do you want to live, and what's the cost of living that life? Mm. You go out there and you work for that. Beyond that, what's the purpose, you know? So I don't think I had a point where I said, okay, now I'm going to stop. And I think I always had that that desire in me, you know, to just find depth. You know, if you're not finding depth, what are you even doing? You know, it's just sometimes very, very difficult, you know. And now I'm constantly trying to like find my depth in, because I know, you know, my next few films, it's Fighter, then there's War, then there's Krish 4, and I'm constantly only trying to see if the actor in me can be satisfied. And it's a struggle. And but maybe if I don't and I can't, I'll, you know, quickly do a film that satisfies that urge to me.
Choose as an actor alone.
Yeah, just as an actor. That's such a luxury.
Yeah.
That's an incredible luxury. But I am certain that you can find that depth in any film.
Sure.
You know,
Tom Cruise is not making fluff. He's making, it's wonderful stuff.
Just need like-minded minds who are willing to go the distance.
Hmm.
You know? Willing to go the distance and looking at the spectacle as the decoration.
Yeah.
You know, if the director, the producer is looking at the spectacle as your mainstay, then it's very hard to collaborate with them for depth, because you know, they don't feel the desire, they don't feel the need for it. You know, ko ye to hai helicopter hai, ye stunt hai, wo stunt hai. And I'm sure in my, so certain in my head that all of that is finally only decoration. It's only decoration. And struggle, good luck to me, man. Need to find that depth in everything. Sometimes it's a big struggle.
Listen, I'm super excited about War 2. I think you and NTR Jr. in a frame is just...
Yeah.
Inherently so exciting.
Fingers crossed.
Is there anything you can tell us about it?
No, but just the I think just the fact that we're about to begin, we're almost there, and yeah, goes on floors very, very soon, a bit too soon.
So there's no break.
I don't
for
get
you?
A breather. I don't get a breather.
Not at all.
No, but I'm there. You know, there's enough that's filled me up and encouraged me. I've got enough of a pat on my back for fighter. I think that's. I think that is something that something that I have a lot of gratitude for, and I'm good to go, man. I'm good to go. Let's go war. Got the encouragement that I needed.
Well, just before we started rolling, you were talking about how you celebrated and did some bad things. You know, what are bad things for you?
It's a long answer.
Okay, I'm here.
So in this film, I actually had to transform my, like, do three transformations. Because I did one just to check whether I still have the ability before the film started. So I did that, and then did the second one for the shoot while the film was on floor. And when the time came, there was a weather issue in some place that we were going, and they had to cancel the shoot. And then I had my summer break where I went with my boys. And then, of course, you know, you have pizzas and, you know, the fries and stuff. And then I came back. I had to do another transformation. It was the third transformation in a row, like up, down, up, down, up, down.
How long do these take?
Every transformation takes about, takes about 10 weeks. And the last one I had to do in 6 to 8 weeks.
Wow.
So it was incredibly difficult, and I had to shoot three songs back to back while I was doing transformations, which means there's no fuel. You know, I'm running on just like steam, and I have to recover enough so that, because when there's no fuel, there's the, your recovery becomes slower because you're in a deficit.
Yeah.
So the body doesn't have enough fuel to help you rejuvenate faster. And I'm dancing every day for 12 hours, and it was terrible. Anyways, the answer that I was coming to was, so when the day came and my body shot got over, I was so happy and so relieved. But, you know, nothing was filling me up. You know, I was just having gajar ka halwa, like having ice cream. And I was like, you know, I had not planned for the reward. I'd only planned to be in this fight or flight mode and, you know, get this done. And I said, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? I picked up a cigarette. I picked up a cigarette and I started smoking. You know, I went into the other deep end.
Huh.
And that's a lesson and a like a learning by itself. Because my God, in one week, I track all my, my data.
Yeah.
when I sleep at night. My resting heart rate is 45. When I started smoking, my resting heart rate went up to 75.
Wow.
So it's that bad for you, you know? And I so wanted to make a post about this.
Yeah.
And to just tell people that, hey guys, you have no idea how bad this is for you, because you know, your life can be measured with the number of heartbeats that you get in your life.
Yeah.
Which is why when athletes say that I have a lower resting heart rate, it's a healthy sign. Why?
Yeah.
Because your heart is working less.
Yeah.
To be able to allow you to do the things that
yeah.
you're doing.
Yeah.
So if your resting heart rate goes from 45 to say 90. You're going to live half the life that you would actually get to live.
So it's literally cutting your life. Yeah, yeah,
so that's
yeah.
the calculation.
Yeah.
And so finally I stopped. But I recorded all the data and I took pictures and stuff that, you know, someday I'll share it. I'm sharing it now.
Yeah.
I can send you the data if you want to, you know, put it up on your
really?
On the interview.
Please do. My
there's
God.
It's like before, after. It's insane.
Wow.
It's insane.
And in a week.
In a week. So I smoked for about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then I quit. But it was a disaster. My point being, you know, we only plan and schedule and brainstorm about the building, you know, about but what happens after the victory.
Yeah.
You know, that also needs, it needs a plan.
The post-peak.
Yeah, the post-peak. And how do you settle? Do you have meditation in place? What is it that you go to? What are your rewards?
Yeah.
What fills you up? It's so important to know that, you know. And that's what I, that was a learning. I said, my God, I didn't plan for this. And that's why I was searching. I was, you know, I was at a loss. And which is why I think people take to, you know, drugs and other such evils. Because, you know, they want to have fun. They've just maybe had a victory and you don't know how, you know. And you just take what's available.
Right.
But to really search inside, like, hey, what fills me up? What would really reward me?
Yeah.
That's a search and a learning by itself. So I'm
you're, you know, on it.
I'm very, very glad that happened. So now I know what to do.
and you still don't know what the reward is, but
I'm still searching. But I have an idea now. Yeah.
Anything you can tell us?
Oh my God. It's I really don't have a short answer.
Huh.
But one of the answers is, you know, not get so crazy while you are going towards that victory. That needs to be balanced first.
In moderation. Know.
Yeah,
no,
because,
everything.
Yeah, because the pendulum, if it's so far on that end, it is going to swing the other end. You will have no choice. You will try as much to stop it, but gravity. So, yeah, you have to have that balanced first. So that's where I'm at right now. Need to balance that first, get my life in order. You know, don't have to go so crazy all the time.
Mm.
Also, you know, yeah, I don't think the body shot is just, again, just a decoration. You know, it's one of the skills I bring as an actor. It's not me. I'm not attached to it, you know. So I'm okay with or without it.
But Hrithik, can balance, which you say you want to find in life, and great art coexist? Do you not need to be thoda sa, like, on the edge to create something that's amazing?
Yeah.
Hai na?
Yeah. You have to. Balance.
Thoda to pagalpan hona chahiye na?
Yeah. You can't without it. But, you know, the pagalpan, once you identify that this is my pagalpan, then you have to objectively look at that pagalpan and give it a roadmap.
Right.
You know, that's possible.
Correct.
So you're not dismissing the pagalpan. You're not like saying, "Arey yaar, this is bad." No, pagalpan is good.
You're steering it.
Yeah, you need to navigate it. Once you had many experiences, you need to start putting your rules down. That, okay, you know, I can cut something here. I can add something here. You have to build that blueprint so that the pagalpan can exist and, you know, be pumped up even more.
Yeah.
I
and nurture
possible.
Your art.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah. Well, good luck
thank
with
you.
All of this. Good luck with War 2.
Yeah,
and, you.
You
know, before I end, I have to say this to you. I wasn't the biggest fan of Fighter, right?
Yeah.
And you had told me once that we've known each other a very long time.
Yeah.
And you had told me once that my relationships are not dependent on people liking or not liking my films.
Yeah.
But that's a very tough thing to do, and you do it with such grace, so thank you.
You're very welcome. And let me say that it is really not tough at all.
Really?
Absolutely. I, you know, it's like I tell my children that my love language is authenticity. If you can bring authenticity to the table and say, you know, I could have spent 2 hours in the kitchen making their omelette, and they could, you know, eat it, not like it, and then please me and lie and say, "Dad, really, really good, Dad, but didn't like it." That's not my love language. My love language is if you tell me that, "Dad, it's not that great. You know, the omelette that Vicky uncle makes is amazing." I would not, in a second, I would make a call to Vicky uncle and say, "Hey, man, my kids really love your omelette. So, can I know what is it that you put?" That's my love language. You know, if people can be authentic to me and I can be authentic back to them, that's bliss for me.
Well, it's rare, Ritik.
It should not be. It should not
I
be. I
know, but it is. So thank you.
You're welcome again. Thank you for encouraging it. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Film Companion podcast. Stay tuned for more reviews, interviews, and all that's hot and happening in pop culture and entertainment.